time to separate what is true from what is total BS on Fact or Fiction.
Choose wisely.
Here's Adam the Bull.
All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you on CBS Sports Radio. Fact or Fiction in a minute, but the facts are that Faux Gruden, John Gruden, at Faux Gruden, F-A-U-X, underscore Gruden, had the tweet of the day just now. He says, "The reports are true, man. Khalil Mack's been traded to the Bears in exchange for an actual bear. He will play defensive end for us and will go by the name Rupert. Raider Nation, please give Rupert a warm welcome." Now, that's funny. For more hijinks, here's Anthony, my producer, with Fact or Fiction. Anthony.
All right, Bull, let's start with some baseball, shall we? So
please.
Someone that you know very well, Ben Zobrist, in the hunt for the NL batting title, but believes that there are other statistics that are more meaningful than batting average. "Of course I'd like to finish higher than I ever have in that category," Zobrist said Thursday. "But honestly, I think the batting average is an outdated stat. I think we need to get rid of it at some point. The other stats we have are more telling about how your offensive season has been. Among the statistics Zobrist believes should be weighed more heavily are batting average with runners in scoring position, on base percentage, and slugging percentage." Fact or fiction, Bull, batting average is an outdated stat?
It's three quarters of a fact. I mean, it still has value, but it is outdated. Yes, that's a fact. But Ben Zobrist is saying that. I love Ben Zobrist, love him. But he's saying it like nobody else is saying that. Everybody that covers, I mean, maybe a lot of players aren't, but most of the smart baseball people that are covering the game are already saying that. Like, when I look at players now, I don't really look at batting average. I mean, I see it once. Like, I'm a Cubs fan, and I didn't realize Ben Zobrist was fourth in the National League in batting. That's how little I'm a diehard fan, but I didn't realize he was fourth in batting because I don't really look at batting average very often. I knew he was doing well. I knew he was having a good season, but I didn't know he was fourth in batting average. But yeah, I always look at OPS. Like, that to me is this, you know, which is, for those who don't know, is on base. You know, Zobrist brings up on base and slugging. I think he said slugging too, right? Did he say slugging or no?
Zobrist, he mentioned batting average with runners in scoring position, on base percentage, and yes, slugging percentage.
Yeah, so on base percentage plus slugging percentage is OPS. That's really the stat. You know, I know on the Cubs broadcast and a lot of broadcasts, they now put the guy's slash line there, or maybe just the OPS. I look at the OPS. I think that's a better picture of, you know, how well a player is doing. That being said, I still think batting average has a little value. It's not like wins. Like, I can't even believe, I hate when people mention wins for a pitcher. Like, I completely don't ever look at wins. I don't care. Pitcher wins are 100% useless stat. If you judge pitchers based on wins, you're clueless. If you vote for the Cy Young based on wins, you are clueless and should lose your vote.
So Marlins Park, Bull, may become a livelier place next season. The Attendance Challenge franchise will invite fans to bring musical instruments, bells, whistles, and flags to a designated section of Marlins Park in 2019. The move is a way for Marlins fans to show pride in their native countries, celebrate South Florida's cultural diversity, and get loud, according to the team website. Fact or fiction, the Marlins' latest plans will beef up attendance in 2019.
That's a fact. It will. Not significantly, but yeah, it will. I mean, listen, they're desperate, right? The team stinks. Jeter, who was never did anything wrong as a player, has to this point not done anything right as an owner. They're a mess. They, even when they were good, they didn't have a good fan base. It's a lame sports town, especially for baseball. But I can't blame them because the owners of that team have done such a terrible job. Whenever they've had any success, they've never maintained it. They've always blown teams up. So you got to do whatever it takes. You got to be creative. Oakland's been creative in ways and trying to get people to the ballpark, and now they have a team that's playing well. But will it significantly increase? No. But yeah, I think it'll increase a little. If you watch Winter League baseball, Venezuelan League, Dominican League, stuff like that. That stuff's going on in the stands. They're playing music. It's like a party atmosphere. And I think that's cool. I do. I think if I were there for nine innings, I'd probably eventually get annoyed by it. But generally, like watching it on TV, if I'm only watching for a couple innings, I find it fun. I love the atmosphere in Latin America for baseball. The players play with a lot of passion and a lot of energy. I think that's good for the game. I think the celebrating and, you know, all that stuff is great for the game. So I'm in favor. Yeah, I think it'll help a little. I don't know how much. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a noticeable difference, but it definitely won't hurt, I don't think.
Moving over to the NFL, you had mentioned this earlier, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers agreeing on a four-year extension that will make the star quarterback the highest-paid player in NFL history and keep him under contract until he is 40. Rodgers has repeatedly expressed his desire to play both into his 40s and finish his career with the Packers. Fact or fiction, Rodgers will finish his career in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, it's always possible that something happens at the end, like with Peyton Manning, like with Joe Montana, Brett Favre. We've seen it. But I would think at this point with this extension that, Aaron Rodgers stays to the end. I mean, unless we have a situation where, you know, he's 38 and they draft somebody late. But I would bet, yes, I'd say fact, he stays his whole career in Green Bay.
Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says they plan to fix football and it involves shortening the preseason schedule by 2 games, but he wants an 18-game regular season. Jones believes the preseason is more unsafe than the regular season. I can make the case that we have an uptick in concussions in the preseason, Jones says. If you look at it, I would contend there would be less exposure. Fact or fiction, an 18-game regular season would be safer for the players.
That's fiction. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Jerry Jones, as usual, is lost in the soup. He's a great businessman, but when it comes to football, he's clueless. That's why since Jimmy Johnson's influence left the Cowboys, they've been a disaster and the most overrated franchise in all of sports. Jerry Jones, he's a clown show. But that being said, I selfishly like the idea of 18 regular season games because I want more regular season football and I hate the preseason. But it certainly doesn't make it safer. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I don't know how you could possibly make that argument. Makes no sense. And I love when he, like Jerry Jones says, we've got to fix football. Like football's broken. It's like when knuckleheads say, let's make America great again. Well, was America not great? America's a pretty great place. Maybe make it great again. Well, it's a stupid thing to say. It's fix football. Stupid thing to say. I mean, come on. Oh, what do you got to fix football? Listen, there are little things you got to tweak. Football is the most popular sport in America. What the hell is he talking about? I mean, yeah, there are things that can be tweaked along the way, but it hardly needs fixing. It's still it gets kills in the ratings generally. You know, it was due for a little bit of a dip, but come on, there's no serious fixing that needs to happen with football. That's crazy.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers general manager Jason Light said he cannot guarantee Jameis Winston will be the team's starting quarterback once his 3-game suspension is over. Appearing on WFLA-TV during the team's preseason finale Thursday night, Light disclosed the team could consider benching Winston if his replacement impresses in his absence. I don't think it's fair to say right now that he's going to be the guy, Light said. Fact or fiction, Winston will start week 4 for the Bucs.
Of course he's going to start week 4 for the Bucs. What, are they going to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, come on. I mean, that's crazy. Listen, I guess you could always argue if they were somehow 3-0 and... for Ryan Fitzpatrick's their backup. I got that right?
Yes.
He hasn't gone anywhere. Yeah, okay. If they were somehow 3-0 and Fitzpatrick was playing great, I guess maybe we could come up with an argument that you could start him. But here's the bottom line. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to turn 36 soon. Now, Jameis Winston's been a little disappointing in the NFL. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I thought he'd be better. He still hasn't reached his potential. But do you know what that? Do you know offhand? Because I know it. Do you know who they're playing to start the season, Tampa Bay? Anthony?
I do not know offhand.
All right, here we go. First 3 games. At New Orleans, Eagles at home, Carson Wentz might not play, and then the Steelers at home. They'll be lucky to win 1 game. They'll probably be 0-3, even if Carson Wentz doesn't play. At best, they're going to be 1-2 after 3 games, but I think most of us would bet that they're 0-3. So they'll be 0-3. Fitzpatrick will do whatever he does. Why the hell wouldn't you play Jameis Winston? That's stupid. I don't believe that.
So the New York Jets, they clarify their credit quarterback situation on Wednesday, trading Teddy Bridgewater in a 2019 6th-round draft pick to the New Orleans Saints for a 2019 3rd-round pick. Bridgewater played well in the preseason games, completed 74% of his passes, 316 yards, threw a couple of touchdowns, had one interception. Bridgewater will now, of course, back up the great Drew Brees, who will turn 40 in January and just signed a two-year deal with the Saints in March. Fact or fiction, Teddy Bridgewater will be the successor to Drew Brees.
It's interesting because he's only got a one-year deal, and Drew Brees has a two-year deal. And, you know, could Drew Brees go on longer than that? Possibly. Is Teddy? I'm gonna say fiction, and here's why. Teddy Bridgewater, you could say, well, maybe the Saints will pay him, and he'll be the guy in the future. But think about it. Teddy Bridgewater has not played for 2 years. 2 years. If Drew Brees stays healthy, he's not going to play again this year. So essentially, he will have not played football for 3 years. Is he going to sit and wait in the prime of his career another year, maybe two, for Drew Brees to retire? Even though it's a good team and it might be a good situation, I don't think so. I don't think you know, he was a starting quarterback. He was a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to want to sit. It's already, like I said, it's already going to be 3 years if Drew Brees doesn't play or Drew Brees doesn't get hurt this year. I don't think he's going to want to sit for now 4, maybe 5 years. So, no, I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to go and maybe get a chance to be a starter somewhere next year.
All right, and finally, Bull, crazy story. A lifelong Knicks supporter has sold his fandom on eBay for $3,500 after becoming infuriated with the organization. I hate the Knicks, he said. I love the Knicks, but I hate the Knicks. Diehard New York Knicks fan. My childhood room is filled with posters from the 90s, the good old glory days. After all the ups and downs, more downs, more downs, infinite downs, I have reached my breaking point. As of this moment, my New York Knicks fanhood is officially for sale. And what is included in bidding on my new fanhood? I will honor the team of your choosing and be a fan. So the 33-year-old will now root for the Los Angeles Lakers.
What is it? Some idiot paid money to get this guy to root for his team?
Yes, he wanted some clicks on his. He has a YouTube. The guy that paid the $3,500, he has a YouTube channel, so he was looking for some publicity off of it. So that's why he paid the $3,500. So. Fact or fiction, Bull, it's okay to switch the team you root for.
No, that's fiction. Now, listen, that's stupid. First of all, whoever paid this guy is a bigger idiot than this guy, who's an idiot to begin with. But I guess he's not that big an idiot because somebody paid him money, a lot of money. So dumb. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. You can't switch. Like, here's the deal. So I've been working in Cleveland 7 years. You live in a place, you develop a relationship, right? I'm a Cubs fan. I'll always be a Cubs fan. But I do like to see the Indians do well. If they're playing anybody but the Cubs, I do root for them. But I don't have a passion for it, a diehard passion for it, which you can only have growing up and rooting for a team. If you switch fandoms or become a fan as an adult, you're never going to be a true fan of that team. You can never have the same passion that somebody grew up. So I don't have a problem if you like, you know, whatever. If there's a second team, you kind of root for. If your team's not playing, I'm okay with that. But you're not a true fan. You can't be a diehard fan of a second team. You can't switch teams. No.
Now you know what's true and what's total BS.